listen.
Yeah.
An angel flew in here and brought us some money, so you are not delivering freebies. Are you still there? You're not delivering freebies. We're gonna let you know we have the menu. We're gonna look at it. We're gonna get an order in, and we're gonna fatten up the staff over here, and we're gonna try to figure out how to get $100-$200 over to your food truck to bless you today.
That's awesome. Thank you, Pastor. I appreciate y'all. I love you. And listen, and just make sure you give me a little bit of like a, maybe a 30-minute, 45-minute notice, so that way I can get it all together and fresh.
Well, I we're going to try to get on that right away. This is
I'll be at the truck opening it within 15 minutes if anybody wants to stop by.
All right, good deal. Food truck is on Monterey Road, Stuart, Florida. A godly guy with his fiance. I don't know if I can say her name, but if
Savannah.
You said her name.
You said it three times last time I was on the air with you.
Okay.
I told her.
You're going to have to bring her in. All right.
Yes.
This is Prayer and Share. Michael will be in touch with you. Prayer and Share. And this is WCNO in Palm City, Florida, 89.9. Thank you for listening.
Oh, wait. I have a conviction I have to say real quick. Hey, if anybody doesn't know Jesus and they want to get to know him and accept him, I'd recommend it. And call Pastor or something and ask him about it. He'll help you out.
Yeah, or call Michael.
Call Michael, yeah.
I'll help you out, but I take a little bit longer.
You do.
Stop by your local your food truck, taco truck.
All right, brother. I'll catch you soon.
Listen, we love you.
Thanks,
take
Michael.
Care. All right.
Love you too. Bye-bye. Bye.
See, now I wanted the custom grilled cheese sandwich in
how many
the
cheeses,
shape of a
though?
Car.
Three cheeses.
In
you
the
wanted
shape
the shape of,
a car.
Shape of a car. Can you order it that way?
Custom. Yeah. Custom.
I would want mine in the shape of a Jeep. Okay. Hey, we're getting too technical.
My question is, how do you get more food? Is it better to be a Jeep sandwich or a car sandwich, you know?
Hey, you know, that's an idea.
That's right.
You know? What is that movie where all the Jeeps and the trucks, they all talk to each other, you
cars.
Know?
Cars. Yeah.
Cars. apropos.
It's called Cars. It's called Cars. Oh, isn't that something?
Yeah.
Okay.
772-221-1100.
Thank you, Ben.
You're still in a fundraiser right now.
Somebody.
Our lines are open if you're listening and you want to call. We're having too much fun in here.
We are indeed. Well, the program that is be on air right now is the real truth for Thursday, and I think we're going to play it. We're going to be right back.
Which is the matter of the baptism in the Holy Spirit? Each segment of teaching is one vital link in that journey, which leads ultimately to the real truth concerning the role of the third member of the Godhead in your life, whom Jesus himself called the Helper, that is, the blessed Holy Spirit, the living waters of God. God says in Hosea 4:6, that his people, that means born-again believers, Christians, are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Ignorance or lack of knowledge concerning spiritual matters not only is not bliss, but it is an open gateway to devastation and destruction. Jesus taught that the knowledge of the truth sets free, which inherently means that what you do not know of the truth will keep you in bondage. The unfortunate truth is that many born-again believers are being held captive by lack of knowledge of the truth and deceptions concerning this critical matter of the baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire. Now, some of the main points I am going to be establishing and providing scriptural support for during the course of this teaching are that, 1. The baptism in the Holy Spirit is a separate and distinct or adjunctive experience to the infusion of the Holy Spirit that takes place at the moment of salvation. 2. Regeneration by the Spirit, that is, salvation, the new birth, and the baptism in the Holy Spirit are two distinct and separate workings of the same Holy Spirit. In salvation, the Holy Spirit comes to live within the believer, imparting the fruit of the Spirit. That is the regenerative work of the Holy Spirit. In the baptism in the Holy Spirit, the believer is enveloped by or immersed in the Holy Spirit. That is to say, the Holy Spirit comes upon the believer, in contrast to in the believer, and imparts the gifts of the Holy Spirit. These facts are clearly supported by Scripture and are exemplified by the experience of Jesus himself, who is our supreme model. Jesus is the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. Jesus explicitly stated that the baptism in the Holy Spirit will be given to any believer who simply asks him for it. The baptism in the Holy Spirit is a gift of grace received by faith and often imparted through the laying on of hands by other anointed believers.
Now, the truth that I am going to establish from Scripture in this segment concerns the first work of the Holy Spirit in regeneration, that is, in the born-again experience or salvation, so that we can contrast that working of the Holy Spirit against the working of the Holy Spirit in the baptism in the Holy Spirit, demonstrating that those are two separate and distinct experiences for the believers and workings of the Holy Spirit. You must be born again. The first passage of Scripture we want to look at is in John 3:3-8. Jesus is explaining to a Pharisee named Nicodemus, who we are told was a ruler of the Jews, the requisite of being born again. Jesus answered and said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but do not know where it comes from and where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." Now, clearly in this passage, Jesus is talking about being born by the Spirit of God. He is referring to the initial transaction of regeneration, when Jesus comes in the form of the Holy Spirit to live, i.e., reside or abide in a person's spiritual heart, which is the human spirit, at the very moment when he, she, asks Jesus for forgiveness of their previous sins and that he come and live in his, her heart and life. Now, in Ephesians 2:1, it explains to us that we were dead in our trespasses and sins. You recall that in the Garden of Eden, when God spoke to Adam and Eve and told them not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for he said that in that day they ate of it, they would surely die. Yet we see that they lived for over 900 years after they disobeyed God's explicit commandment and ate anyway. Well, what then was God referring to when he said they would die? They did indeed die when they partook of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which was the carnal nature, the sin nature. But it was not physical death that transpired, in that their human spirit died. That is what produced the result the Apostle Paul was speaking about in his epistle to the Ephesians. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Ephesians 2, 1 through 2. As I said, and this is a critical matter to understand, the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, of which Adam and Eve partook, was not an apple, as the mythology of the creation purports, but rather it was the carnal or sin nature, the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience, which is according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, who is Satan. Satan is the prince of the power of the air. It is his spirit, the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience, that permeates and pervades the atmosphere on earth, which is the prime cause of all evil and wickedness upon the earth. You're listening to the Real Truth Podcast. Other episodes of the podcast can be found at realtruthradio.com. Alive but dead. So how is it that humans can be alive and living but yet dead at the same time? That's a very good and important question, the answer to which is fundamental to the gospel. The Bible makes it clear that humans are tripartite beings, that is, consisting of three parts. As God is triune, consisting of three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, yet being one divinity or Godhead, so also we, having been made in the image of God, Genesis 1, 26 and 27, were made in three parts, spirit, soul, and body, 1 Thessalonians 5, 23, and thus are tripartite beings. We are essentially a spirit. God is spirit, John 4, 24. And being made by him and in his image, we are also essentially spirit. Moreover, in the original creation, God also formed man, a physical body, out of the dirt of the ground, and breathed or infused the breath of life, i.e., God's very breath or spirit. Both the Hebrew and Greek word for spirit is the same word for breath, and man thereby became a living soul. Quote, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. End quote. Genesis 2, 7. So the result is that humans are first and foremost a spirit who have a soul, which is made up of our mind, will, and emotions. And then the spirit and soul is contained or enshrouded in a physical human body. So we have three parts and are tripartite beings. But in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve sinned against God by partaking of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in direct disobedience to God's explicit command not to, their human spirit died. Moreover, everyone who has ever been born, every human being that has ever been born since then, has been born with a human spirit that exists but is dead spiritually. It is spiritually dead. That is what Ephesians 2:1 is speaking about when it says, quote, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins," end quote. The entire progeny of Adam and Eve, all humanity, are born into this world spiritually dead. That is the reason we all must be born again. Spiritual resurrection. When Jesus comes to live in our spiritually dead human spirit, it becomes alive, as it is infused with the regenerative power of the Holy Spirit. By that infusion of the Spirit into our dead human spirit, we are literally raised from the dead, resurrected, as Jesus was raised from the dead or resurrected, only spiritually rather than physically. See also Romans 8:10 through 11. That, what I was just talking about, is the initial working of the Holy Spirit in our lives, what takes place when we are born again. But again, that is the regenerative working of the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit comes to live in our spiritual hearts or human spirits. When we ask Jesus to come and live in our hearts, He regenerates our human spirit. He gives life to our spirit at that moment of the rebirth. But that experience and working of the Holy Spirit in regeneration, or the new birth, is separate and distinct from the working of the Holy Spirit that takes place through the baptism in the Holy Spirit. In verse 6 of this text, cited at the beginning of this chapter, Jesus said, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh," referring to the natural birth. Then He said, "And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." And what He was describing there is when we are born again, when Jesus comes to live in our spirit, our human spirit, in the form of the Holy Spirit. It is at that moment that the regenerative working of the Holy Spirit begins to regenerate our human spirit, which was dead in our trespasses and sins, according to Ephesians 2:1, as a result of the spiritual death that took place when Adam and Eve fell into perdition in the Garden of Eden. A well of water springing up unto eternal life. Now, in the story regarding the woman of Samaria who met Jesus as she came to Jacob's well to draw water, Jesus made an allegorical reference to what transpires at this moment of regeneration when someone gives his or her life to Jesus, and He comes in the form of the Holy Spirit to regenerate that person's human spirit, infusing them with spiritual life. It is the life of God by which we are infused in the form of the Holy Spirit, taking up residence in our human spirit at the point of salvation, when Jesus comes to live within our heart. And it is very important to give great attention to the details of what Jesus was saying in this story and what He is revealing to us regarding the Holy Spirit. The story is recounted in John 4:7-14. "There came a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, 'Give me a drink.' Now notice he is referring to a drink, and that is very important. And I will explain the significance of that as we continue on. Therefore, the Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink, since I am a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." Notice again, the issue is a drink. The account continues. Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God," notice what he refers to this drink as. He calls it the gift of God. This drink that he is referring to here. Picking the text back up, Jesus said, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." She said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? You are not greater than our father Jacob, are you, who gave us the well and drank of it himself and his sons and his cattle?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water," the water that is in the well that you were referring to, the physical water, "will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst. But the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life." Now that's such a critical thing that Jesus said there. He referred to this water as being a well. He said it will become in him a well of water, a well of water springing up to eternal life. A well of water is something that contains water. It holds the water. It is an enclosed container of the water, a vessel in which the water is enclosed. And he said that this well of water would spring up to eternal life. So the issue that he is speaking about here in this conversation with the woman at Jacob's well is the issue of the living waters of the Holy Spirit in eternal life. Hence, what Jesus is describing here is the work of the Holy Spirit in regeneration or spiritual birth, or the moment of salvation, in which we are, quote, "saved by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit," end quote, Titus 3:5. This working of the Holy Spirit can also be referred to as the infusion of the Holy Spirit. But as we shall see next, there is another or adjunct working of the Holy Spirit in the life of the regenerated or born-again believer, which is the work of the Holy Spirit in the baptism or immersion in the Holy Spirit.
Now, if you want that baptism in the Holy Spirit I've been talking about and would like to know more about it and how to receive it, I've written a book and even recorded an audio book of the book that will help you with that. The book title is Dunamis, Power from On High. Dunamis, Power from On High. Now, this concise book explains what the baptism in the Holy Spirit is, the scriptural precedent and proofs regarding it, how to sort out the real truth from all the diverse teaching that exists concerning it based on Scripture, and it provides some simple explanation for receiving the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Now, I want you to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And if you have not done so yet, I want you to have this special book and or audio book I've prepared for you to help you understand it and to receive this powerful working of the Holy Spirit in your life. So I am making the book itself available to you for a donation to the Real Truth Radio program or podcast of any amount. For those of you who can, please make a donation of at least $20 to cover both the publication cost of the book as well as the shipping and handling. And if you can, send more to help us to send the book to someone else who cannot send a donation. However, for those of you who cannot make a donation of $20 or more, we will send you the book for a donation of any amount. So again, you may request the book separately for a donation of any amount, and if you can, please send a gift of at least $20 if you are able to do so. Now, if you would also like the 8-disc set audiobook to go along with the book, please send a donation of $50 or more to cover shipping and handling for both products and the products themselves. Again, that's a donation of $50 or more to cover shipping and handling for both the book and the 8-CD set audiobook. You can also order the book and audiobook online on our website at realtruthradio.com. Again, go to realtruthradio.com. Now, please donate at least $20 for the book alone or at least $50 for both the book and the audiobook, which covers shipping and handling as well for both offers. Now don't delay. Send for your copy of the book and or the audiobook today. Thanks for listening to this episode of The Real Truth. I'm Stephen Lambert. Please subscribe to the podcast, share with your friends, and visit realtruthradio.com to join our mailing list. Be sure to tune in to the next edition of The Real Truth. Until then, this is Stephen Lambert reminding you that with God, all things are possible, and all things work together for good to them who love God and are called according to His purpose.
And that is the Real Truth program with Stephen Lambert, Dr. Lambert. So glad to have him as a part of our lineup now every Tuesday and Thursday. And it's glad we could roll this program in today. And we've been trying to work more programs in today. And at the same time, we have been experiencing a tremendous delivery of God's grace and His favor and His provision through His people. Today has been an awesome day. And I just, one of our dear friends just came in the studio. He's already given and given and given. I think we've had 4 gifts so far as an angel giver. And made another matching fund challenge that's going to have to sit here and wait until we finish this matching funds challenge. So, amen. Wow. This is the way God's favor works with us. We are right now at $9,565. I thought there was another. This is the one, but it's matching. I can't bring that in right
and
now.
Our phone number is 772-221-1100. That's 772-221-1100. And if you like programs like what you just heard and you like to keep those programs on the air, you know, consider making a contribution to us. We have phone lines open right now. Maybe you're fixing to go out to lunch.